God is able. As we continue this series on the ability of God, just as a recap of what we have meditated so far, God is able to save to the uttermost, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. God is able to deliver from the fire. You know that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from Daniel chapter 2. God is able to deliver from the lions from Daniel chapter 6. God is able to humble the proud from Daniel chapter 4 through the life of Nebuchadnezzar. God is able to perform his promise from Romans chapter 4 verse 29. But focusing on the story of Abraham, who believed that God was able to give him a child, that God was able to perform his promise that he had given, being persuaded enough to be able to know that God was able to perform. So that is what we have meditated so far in these various sermons related to God is able. The same Abraham who had that clear understanding of the faith that God is able to perform that which he has promised was compared to a saving faith in the book of Romans chapter 4. Saying this is how we need to have faith in the God who is able to perform his promise towards us. That story of Abraham having his son Isaac in spite of his inability of the age of both he and his wife, they were able to be able to have that faith in a God who is able to give them a child in such an old age. We all should have such a kind of a saving faith in God that he is able to save me to the extent of my sinful nature that I am in, that my inability to save myself, that he is able to save me as he has promised from his word. So that is what we have meditated. And this same Abraham, another incident that we are going to see where he was able to understand the ability of God or that God is able. Let us look at that from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19. Shall we all read this together and fill in the blanks as it's mentioned in the sermon notes? You can fill in those aspects. But let us read this together, please, to start with from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19. Let's all read this together. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. God is able to raise him up even from the dead. You can note it down. Which he also received him in a figurative sense. Or some other translations uses the word a type or more like a parable. And let's look at the same verse in Telugu language. Shall we all read this in Telugu language, please? మృతులను సహితము లేపుటకు దేవుడు శక్తిమంతుడని ఎంచినవాడై తన ఏక కుమారుని అర్పించి ఉపమాన రూపముగా అతనిని మృతులలో నుండి మరల పొందెను. దిస్ పర్టికులర్ వర్స్ ఈస్ టేకెన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద లాస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ వర్స్ 18 అండ్ వర్స్ 19. లెట్స్ రీడ్ దిస్ ఇన్ ద ఉర్దూ లాంగ్వేజ్ యాజ్ వెల్. క్యూంకి ఓ సమ్జా కి ఖుదా ముర్దో మేసే జలానే పర్ భీ ఖాదిర్ హై చునాంచా ఉన్హీ మేసే తమ్సీల్ కే తోరే పర్ వో ఉసే ఫిర్ మిలా. అగైన్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ద ఫ్యాక్ట్ దట్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ ఏబుల్ టు రైజ్ ఈవెన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద డెడ్. దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ ఫెయిత్ దట్ ఏబ్రహాం హ్యాడ్ కెన్ బి వెల్ అండర్స్టూడ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ హీ హ్యాడ్ ద చైల్డ్ బట్ ఆల్సో in another incident that is recorded in Genesis chapter 22. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 22. As we turn our Bibles, I just wanted to share with you a particular incident that has happened on Mississippi River. There was a traveler in the early days of the West who arrived at the Mississippi River. I don't know if you have seen the Mississippi River, anyone. And discovered that there was no bridge. He suddenly noticed that there was no bridge, but it was winter time. And the great river was sheeted over with ice. But the traveler was afraid to trust himself to it, not knowing how thick it was. Finally, with infinite caution, he crept on his hands and knees and managed to get halfway over. This man, there was a sheet of ice. He was trying to crawl a little because he didn't know what is the thickness of the ice. Cautiously, he went to the and he managed to get halfway over. Then he heard singing from behind him. Singing. Cautiously, he turned and there, out of the dusk, came another traveler driving a 4-horse load of coal over the ice. 4 horses, which is carrying a load of coal. And that man was singing and coming onto this sheet of ice. Either this man was crazy and reckless, or he knew the strength of the ice well enough to know there was nothing to be worried about. This man, he didn't know what is the thickness of the ice. So he was crawling carefully, not knowing whether he will be getting into the water. But there was another man with his chariot, 4 horses with coal. He started coming over, my dear. The more we know of God, the more unreservedly we will trust him. The greater our progress in understanding who he is, and the simpler and more childlike will be our faith. We'll forget about everything, knowing well that God is going to take care of me. And he was singing all along while he was going there. But this man did not have enough understanding of the strength of the ice or the thickness of the ice. We're going to look at this particular character of Abraham. Somebody who has experienced it, if we learn from their experiences, we will be able to be strengthened much more. Somebody has gone through that path. If that person could go through that path where he was able to go through the faith that he had, why shouldn't I have such a kind of faith? That's why Hebrews chapter 11 has the heroes of faith. God has given us a list of them from whom we can learn how to be able to have the faith in him. Abraham, his name was mentioned in this Hebrews chapter 11, talking about the faith that he had in spite of the unknown future, when God said, go out of this place. I'm going to show a place where you have to go. And he went ahead, not knowing where he was going. And then he did not have a child, but he believed in God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And he believed in God that God is able to give him a child. He had that faith. And also, in this particular chapter, Genesis chapter 22, let us carefully look at this. As many times as we read this chapter, this story, God reveals wonderful truths that we can learn. Maybe this is a well-known story, my dear, but let us look at it as if we are reading it for the first time, from Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. God is able to raise. God is able to raise. Genesis chapter 21 was the birth of Isaac. And I'm sure after Isaac was born, there were many things that have happened where he gave a great feast in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 8. Because the child grew and was weaned, Abraham made a great feast. And they were enjoying that little one that God had promised to give and he has given. And probably they were having laughter. The word Isaac itself means laughter. They were enjoying the time. That old people, two old people with this little boy, they must have been enjoying the time. Years pass by. Chapter 22 and verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. Oh my dear. That small word, in some other translations it uses the word tempted. God tested or tempted in a way to be able to understand that God always wants to see how strong we are in our faith. He wants to strengthen our faith. That's why he lets us go through some tests in our lives. There is a saving faith that he experienced it as mentioned in Romans chapter 4. But there is a strengthening faith that God is looking for in each of our lives as well. And that strengthening faith comes only through test. We all go through tests in our lives. How much we are able to have the faith in Him, only under tests and trials can our faith come out. It will be a genuine faith when we come out of our tested faith that will tell us as to whether we have the real kind of faith or a dead faith that the Bible talks about. God tested Abraham. God's testings are for our strengthening, my dear. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Please read 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, any language. Do not be surprised. 1 Peter 4:12. Do not be surprised, beloved, at the fiery trials or ordeals among you. Fiery situations. Not able to know. It's so uncomfortable situations. The Bible says, do not be surprised. Maybe we are surprised right now with the trials that we are going through in our life right now. But the Bible says, do not be surprised. The do's and don'ts. Do not be surprised. Which comes upon you for your testing. It is for your testing. It is not for somebody else's testing. The trials that we are going through in our lives is for our testing. Do not be surprised. As though some strange thing were happening to you. It is not a surprise. It is not a strange thing. The sufferings that we go through in our lives is not a surprise, is not a strange thing. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. It's very important to understand that we have a God who allows us to go through sufferings in our lives. It's only through sufferings, through testing, through fire testing, that we come out as pure gold, as it says in the book of Job. We have meditated on the Kindle the Fire series, during which we have gone through the fiery situations, how God allows us to go through to come out of it as a pure gold. The faith will be tested. 1 Peter 1:7. So that the proof or the testing of your faith, it is more precious than gold. Maybe you have gold. Let me tell you, the faith that you are going through, the test of faith or the proof of faith that you are going through, is more precious than the gold that you own in your life. Continue, brother. Yes. The revelation of Jesus Christ. James chapter 1. If you just go one step, one book earlier. Chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, the faith requires testing, my dear. The faith that you have requires testing. You consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. The testing of faith is happening through encountering trials in our lives. The testing of your faith produces endurance. And then after that endurance, it's perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. Please read. Abraham, our father, as a result of the works, faith was perfected. It is not works that is the reason for our faith, but it is the works that is a result of our faith. Our faith is tested through the works or through the result of what we are doing here, Abraham, our father, his saving faith that he had, and now his faith that is being strengthened, here it says, as a result of works, faith was perfected. God wants to make sure that our faith is perfect, that faith is completed, not just the faith that it started off then at the time that you have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, but that faith needs to be strengthened, my dear. That faith needs to be perfected. That faith needs to be producing works in such a manner that there is a fruit of the faith that you have. If you do not have the fruit of the faith, the Bible says it's a dead faith. We need to question ourselves whether we are really saved or not. The faith needs to be tested in such a manner that it produces the results which will make the faith a perfect faith. And that is what God is allowing. God was allowing Abraham to go through the test when he offered up Isaac, the son, on the altar. His faith was working with his works. The faith, remember one thing very clearly, my dear. There are many people who try to misunderstand this. Works are not a reason for our faith, as I mentioned earlier. It is not the works that we do that will enable us to cause our faith or for us to be saved. But it is the works that follow our faith that needs to be really getting perfected. The faith gets perfected through the works that we do. And that is why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are saved by grace through faith, not of any works that we should boast. Let's see that, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. What does it say? Verse 8, 9 and 10. Somebody else, if you can please read. You have been saved through faith. Yes. Nothing out of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Yes. Now you see that the moment in verse 10, though the works are not the cause for our faith, but works should be the result of our faith. Verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are saved unto good works. God wants us to show forth our faith through work. What is our faith? What is that faith that has to be shown through works? Through our life, through our testimony, it has to be shown. Our faith has to be shown. Not only James, but also Paul is mentioning that we are saved unto good works. If you go one book earlier, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Towards the last, you know what it says? Galatians 5, 6. It says, notice this carefully, faith working through love. It is a working faith. It is not a faith that is just staying there, static and idle and lazy. The faith has to be worked upon. So I'm asking you, my dear brother and sister, do you have a working faith? If not, you need to question your saving faith. Because those who have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, having had that saving faith, needs to be able to be a working faith. Working faith, working through love. Only through love you show forth your action. Jesus Christ came into this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is shown through action. Faith working through love. It just doesn't say faith associated with love. It works through love. God wants you to be able to make sure that faith is tested enough. Maybe you're going through difficult situations in your life right now. Is your faith strengthened? Or are you questioning God? Faith working is important. God wants you to be able to be strengthened. He is the one who is working in you. But you need to be able to recognize that God is the one who is helping me. So if you notice in Genesis chapter 22, let's go back to 22. Genesis chapter 22. Notice this carefully. God spoke to Abraham. One thing is for sure, that Abraham was able to recognize the voice of God. You know what he said? God said, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." The first thing that you want to note down in the heading of the first box is availability of Abraham. Note down, availability of Abraham. And the first thing that you can note under that is God calling him, "Abraham." God's voice, "Abraham." The word, just the calling of God, "Abraham." The response of it is said, "Here I am. Here I am." You know what it means? I'm available. "Yes, Lord. What do you want me to do?" "I'm available, Lord. Here I am." You know what Isaiah the prophet, he said, "Who will go on behalf of us?" Then he said, "Here I am," in Isaiah chapter 6. "Here I am" talks about the fact that he is there. He's not running away. He says, "Here I am. I'm available. Here I am. I am available." And you know what God said now? He said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah." God was very clear when he spoke to Abraham. "Take now your son, your only son." Wasn't Ishmael his son? But he was not the promised son. He was not the one who was born to his wife. Isaac was only one. That's why he said, "Your only son." And he didn't stop there. "Whom you love." Of course, since the time he was born, probably they would have been having a wonderful time together. And then also he mentioned the name of the son as well, Isaac. To be clear as to what the instruction was, God's instructions and his voice, his clear voice, my dear. God intends us to be able to hear his clear voice. "Take now." See the way in which he told, "Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you." Mount Moriah was the same place. If you read 1 Kings chapter 3, it talks about the fact that King Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah. This was a preparation of the altar that was going to be built. And here we see, if you have listened to the mountaintop experiences, we have gone through Mount Moriah as well in that. And here we notice that God was very clear in telling. If it was us, and if we hear a voice like this, he will say, "Is it really God? Can God really say to offer my son whom he has given? Is it possible for God to say such statement?" Probably it is not God. He might, you know, if it was anybody else, they would have said, "Get thee behind me. What is this voice? What are you talking about? God gave me this promise. What is this? How can I offer my son whom God has promised?" But he was very clear. He was able to hear the voice of God, even though it was not in alignment to what he might have been thinking about. My dear, when God speaks, we should be able to hear his voice and obey his voice rather than questioning him. It's very important for us to be able to recognize that. It is not about questioning God, but it is about how we are able to go forward. Let's see what happened in verse 3. In verse 3, Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Doesn't record anything in terms of his questioning God as whatever, because God said, "Take now." God doesn't need to give any explanation to what he tells. Remember that. This is a very important statement that you and I should be able to recognize. God owes no one an explanation. He doesn't need to give a reason why he is telling why he is asking us. He didn't give Job a reason for what Job went through, though we know what has happened. But look at Job's, from Job's side. There was no reason that God gave for Job to go through so many tough times. Even in my life or your life, God doesn't need to give a reason why he is allowing certain things in our lives. When he commands us, when he tells us to do something, or when he gives us tough times or testing times in our lives, God owes no explanation, my dear. He is a sovereign God. He knows what he is doing and why he is doing. He doesn't need to give explanations. If he wants to give explanations, let him. But he's not a debtor to give reasons for why we are doing. So what did Abraham do? He arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering that morning. Such an old man. It doesn't say that his son split the wood. He doesn't say that the two young men split the wood. He woke up early in the morning. A century year old man or plus. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. God said, go to Mount Moriah, but I'll tell you which specific mountain it is. So he didn't know a specific mountain, but he knew approximately the place where he had to go. At least this time God told him to go to Mount Moriah. So he immediately, the next day morning, he rose early in the morning. Early risers, let me tell you. It is very important for us to be early risers. And the Bible talks about many early risers. Even if it was Joshua and other people, early in the morning, read through the book of Joshua. It talks about early in the morning, they woke up and did things. Early in the morning is a great time to be able to spend, because it's a quiet time, not to be affected by the things of this world, to be able to take up certain steps in our lives. Lord, I want to be able to obey your word this morning in my life. So here, this is what he did. He arose and went to the place. And verse 4, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Third day. On the third day, notice this. That suffering times that he was going through, that night or the day earlier when God spoke to him, first thing in the morning, he got up. And it took him up to the third day to reach the foot of the Mount Moriah. And I'm sure he must be going through mixed emotions in his life. What is going on? We don't know what all is happening in his mind. It is not recorded. But you can imagine a person who had the child after so long, a promised child. Now God, who has promised him, now God is telling him to offer him up as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering. You know what the burnt offering means? Burnt offering means complete surrender. It is a sacrifice. Sacrifice. It is not a contribution. It is a commitment, my dear. Contribution is giving a little or giving a portion of the entire thing that you have. Sometimes people do 10%. Sometimes people do 90%. Contribution. But here, burnt offering signifies complete surrender. Burnt means completely burnt off, to be able to offer unto God. Genesis chapter 8 records another burnt offering where Noah, he offered burnt offerings of clean animals and birds, and God smelled the sweet aroma and he said, I will not destroy the mankind with water again. It was a burnt offering that was given unto him. And here again it is repeated about the burnt offering. And for the burnt offering, it is not just killing, but it is to burn. And it is requires fire. If you see verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Shaka, that's the word that is used in Hebrew. Shaka. Shaka means to bow down. This English word worship is used for the first time in this Bible. First time the word worship is used. In Telugu, I think it uses the word murukki, because it means bow down, bowing down. Abraham had to have a real faith, a strong faith in him, to be able to make this statement saying, I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. He could have said, I don't know why God is speaking like this. Do you really think it is God who was speaking? Or many other such kind of complaints. Many others, to gain sympathy, sometimes we tend to share certain things to the extent of questioning God. To the extent of questioning God. He didn't say anything here, my dear. Look at Abraham. The words that came out of his mouth after God made that statement in verse 2 is in verse 5. He said, I and the lad will go over there. We will worship and return to you. He had that faith in a God who is able. And let's notice, we will worship and return to you. He had that faith in God. And verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He laid it on Isaac, his son. Probably all this while the donkey was carrying it, we don't know. But that wood, the father was not laying, but the father laid the wood on his son. Father allowed the wood to be on the back of his son. It was father's choice to allow his son to carry the wood. Notice this carefully. Here it's very clear. He laid it on Isaac. He took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it, wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. It is a type of what has happened when Jesus Christ came into this world. The Father laid our sins upon Jesus Christ when Jesus took the wood and carried it up to Mount Golgotha, where Jesus carried the cross and he died for us on the cross of Calvary. Here we notice that Isaac was carrying the wood. And now, verse 7. Somebody please read. The second point to note down is Isaac. He said, my father. All Isaac said was, my father. And what did Abraham say? Here I am, my son. The availability of the father for his son. Availability of Abraham for his God. Availability of Abraham for his son. Here I am, my son. Oh, my dear, it is very important for us to take care of our family as well. Here I am, my son. Though you are going through tough times in your life, do not neglect your family. Here I am. I am available, my son. I am available. I am there for you. I am with you. I am coming with you. Fathers, mothers, how much time are we spending with our children? It's a question to me as well. When children are looking for spending time with their children, with their parents, they don't have time. Parents are so busy. So busy. Not even looking at the eyes of the child, but looking at the smartphones and saying, yeah, tell me. It's a big lesson for each one of us, my dear. Whether you have children or you have little children or you don't have children yet. This is a very important lesson for parents, fathers especially, even mothers for that matter. Be available. Be available. Spend time with your children. It reaps great rewards. Children are watching us. Whatever we do, they will imitate us. Here I am, my son. The same statements that he spoke to God, he spoke to his son. Not trying to say, oh, you are such a small kid or bacha. No. Give respect. They are God's creation as well. We need to be able to give importance to our children. If we do not, we will see the consequences at a later point of our lives. Here I am, my son. Wonderful. When I read this, I thought, wow, God, this is amazing. This is amazing that Abraham spent time with his family, with his son, his next generation, to be able to pass on that legacy of faith to his son. Here I am, my son. He could have said, oh, I'm going through quite disturbed. I'm so depressed. Don't talk to me right now. No. He allowed conversation with his son, even in difficult times. Let's learn this, my dear. I'm learning it. I want to share with you as well. Here I am, my son. And then Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. My father, he said, here am I, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Very genuine question. Very genuine question. Children have basic questions, my dear. Sometimes we can't even answer those basic questions. Be prepared to answer our children for the situations or the questions that they have. Be prepared. What is our answer when we are going through needs or necessities in our lives? What would we say? Do we show forth our anger upon our children? Do we show forth our anger upon God in front of our children? Sometimes we speak angrily about someone in front of our children. I tell you, this is not a good testimony, my dear. Not at all a good testimony. Let us not show forth our anger. In spite of the tough times we may be going through in our lives, have patience. Because the testing of your faith produces patience. If we are not patient, that means we are failing the testing of our faith, let me tell you. Let us be cautious in dealing with our children. Here I am, my son. Call them by name. Here I am, my son. Whatever the name that you have given to your child, call them by name. Let them feel unique. Let them feel as an individual, yes, my dad cares for me. And then he answered, verse 8, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, verse 9. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac. He's not a small kid. If the wood is put on his shoulders, I'm sure he's strong enough than Abraham, most likely. Abraham in such an old age, probably he couldn't carry so much of wood. So he put that wood on the back of his son. He's not a kid. He's a grown-up enough to be able to ask questions and get answers from his dad. He bound his son Isaac. He bound his son Isaac. It's not easy, my dear. The one whom you love, if you have to bind your son in order to be able to obey God rather than men, we may even have to bind the one which we love the most. To be able to tie it up and say, that is fine. And I'm sure Isaac also was able to recognize the faith of his dad, that he did not run away, but he stayed there without crying. And just like we see Jesus Christ, when he was bound and he was taken through the various trials that he was going through, he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Somebody please read verse 11. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Let's note down the third point. The angel calling him, Abraham, Abraham, twice. Why? Why twice? When we go through the climactic situation in our lives, where he had to take the knife and slay his only begotten son, the promised son. He had to hear the voice of God much closer, much louder. Let me tell you, when we go through tough times in our lives, God's voice is much louder or much clearer if you are ready to listen to Him. Even the still small voice seems to be very clear. Abraham! Abraham! The first time when God spoke to him, one time Abraham. The second time when the angel of the Lord, he spoke, he called him Abraham, Abraham, and he said, "Here I am. I am here. I'm still available. I'm not running away, Lord. I'm ready to be able to obey your will in spite of the situations I'm going through. Even if I have to give up the one whom I love the most. Even of the one, of the blessing that you have given to me, if I have to give back to you, I'm ready to give. Here I am. Here I am." In spite of that climactic situation in his life as well, when things were going well in his life, verse 1, he said, "Here I am." When things were going through, when he was going through the tough times in his life, he was able to say, "Here I am," to his son. And in the climactic situation, at the edge of the situation, God allows us to go through situations in our lives, even to the edge. He either brings us out of the edge or allows us to fly up. That is what God is. And to that edge that he went through, the climactic situation, he had to hear a voice of God. Abraham, Abraham. Many times when we are going through tough times in our lives, we don't get to hear the voice of God because it is our complaints and many of our troubles that are unable to pray, to let us hear the voice of God. Here I am. And let me tell you, wonderfully, this "here I am" has brought forth a dramatic change in the life of Abraham. His faith was tested enough. When God was speaking to him, he was able to say, "Here I am." When his children and his family member was talking to him, he was able to say, "Here I am." "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Verse 12. You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God doesn't want human sacrifices. Remember that. But he made this statement to test the faith of Abraham to the extent of being able to see if he was ready to give up the most important one for him. He did not withheld it. He did not withheld it. Corrie ten Boom, she said, "I have learned that we must hold everything loosely, because when I grip it tightly, it hurts when the Father pries my fingers loose and takes it from me. We have to love the blesser more than the blessing, even when it comes to people." Corrie ten Boom. If we hold it so tight of the blessings that God has given, not the God, that is why Jacob was able to say, "I will not leave you," not the blessing. "I will not leave you." Hold on to God, not the blessing, my dear. Many times we hold on to the blessing so much, when God says, "Take it out. I want to see if you have enough faith." It pains us. Let us focus on the blesser, the one who has given more than the blessing. Let us note down the next box here, which is the ability of God. Notice it is a slight variation of that word. Availability of Abraham and ability of God. God is not expecting us to have ability, remember. God is expecting us to have our availability. He is able, you be available. God is not wanting you, "Oh, how much strength do you have? Let me see if you are able to do that." No. He is able to do that. But he wants you to be available. He wants me to be available for him. Here I am. And the ability of God, we notice certain things in this particular one. You know what he said? What he answered his son in verse 8. Please read. Yes, "My son." The way he addressed his son. "My son." Maybe sometimes it's good to call "my son" rather than the name also. It gives a much closer relationship. Dad, if somebody calls, your child calls, you respond, yes, my son. It's a wonderful experience of a father and a son. And you know, he said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Are we sharing our faith with our children? Are we telling that God is the one who provides? God is the one who takes care of our lives? Are we sharing our faith to our children, or are we letting our Sunday school teachers to share the faith? It all begins at home, my dear. Sunday school teachers are there to help, to be just a catalyst. But if at home, all the remaining days, if you don't impart the faith that you have to your children, the consequences will be seen when they grow up. God will provide a lamb for himself. God will provide. Dad, why is this happening in our lives? Where is the lamb? Where is this? We are in need of this. Why is it not happening? My son, God will provide for himself. It is not something we have to tell it for the sake of telling, but it is the real, genuine faith that is being tested that lets us say that statement. God will provide. And the second thing that we notice is the verse that we read just now, I mean, in the beginning, from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the ability of God. What does it say? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. Please read. God is able to raise him even from the dead. Note this down as a second point in this section. God is able to raise, the ability of God. He was able to conclude. He was able to consider. He was able to be able to clearly say, yochinchadam anata Telugu lo. It says, please read in Telugu. 18th, end of 18. Mrutulalo nundi. Okay, I'll read it out. Mrutulana sahitamu leputaku devudu shakti mantudani yenchina vadai. He was able to conclude, he was able to really sense that God is the one who is able to raise him up even from the dead. Did he ever see any resurrections that happened in the past? No. Did he have the word of God on all the various incidents in the scriptures for him to be able to have faith? No, there was no law. There was no incidents. Yet, something that has enabled him. It's a faith that matters. After that came the law. And then came the grace. But the faith started much earlier than the law. And the faith in which he had, by faith it says, by faith, verse chapter 11, it says that by faith, he was able to, verse 17 onwards, by faith Abraham, by faith, he was able to recognize that God can raise people from the dead. Did it happen? Figuratively it happened because he gave up his son. And then the third and the final thing that we want to note down from Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. There's one more statement that he mentioned. Is Jehovah Yireh, verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Yireh, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Jehovah chuchukonenu. He will see it through. The Lord will provide, or he will see it through. He will take care of it. He will see it through. As it is said, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. He knew that God is able. He was able to express his faith in the ability of God, not in him. Because God is able, my dear. God is able. God is able to raise, even if Isaac could have died. But that didn't happen. Isaac didn't even die. Because God said, stop. Abraham, Abraham. And then there was another animal, a ram there, stuck. The ram also didn't run away. He took the ram and sacrificed unto the Lord. My dear, important lessons that we can learn from this. In conclusion, just want to note down three words at the bottom of this, and that is, He received the promise, which is Isaac. He offered the promise, which is Isaac. And he received the promise, Isaac. Whatever you have received, be ready to offer it to him. Don't hold on to it and say, Lord, you gave me, I'm not going to leave it. I'm not going to leave it. That reminds me of a story about a father and a child who went to McDonald's. And the father bought him French fries. Who doesn't like it? Maybe some. So the little one took the fries and he started eating. The father was looking at this little boy. He's eating. And then the father just stretched out his hand to take one of the French fries. The son slapped his hand and said, "No, this is mine." Sometimes we act like that. Who gave the French fries? The father gave. What did the father do? He just wanted to take one of the French fries. What did the child do? He tried to hold on to it and said, "This is mine." Many times we do that, my dear. Be ready to offer up. Be ready to sacrifice. Not just contribute, but sacrifice. You will get back in much fold according to the scriptures, because God is able to do that. Elmer Towns from Liberty University, one of the founders, he made this statement. It takes faith to believe God will provide when we sacrifice our best. It takes faith to believe God will provide when we sacrifice our best. To sacrifice our best is very difficult. Oh, out of all that I have, giving a little, big deal. But sacrificing the best, it takes faith to believe in a God who is able to provide in spite of my sacrificing the best. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to remember that we have a God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up so that we may have eternal life. Abraham did not withheld his son. This is a typical thing that has happened of what has happened in the actual, when God the Father did not spare, did not withhold his only son, Jesus Christ, who actually died. There was a lamb that was given as a substitute for Isaac, but the Lamb of God, he died for us on the cross of Calvary. If God could do that, if God, who did not spare his own son, how much more could he give us all things, the Bible says. So my dear, through this particular sermon, I hope we are able to remember that God is waiting for our availability to show forth his ability. By faith, let us move on in our Christian life. No matter what situations are happening in our lives, let us trust in the Lord that he is able to raise even the dead things or non-living things he can bring to life. Be encouraged, be challenged, and may the Lord help us to move on in our Christian life by faith. Let's close our eyes and reflect upon what we have learned today, my dear. God is able. God is able. Don't try to test God when he's testing us. Let's not see, oh, let's see. When Abraham did that, why not? I also, let me try to say this, the Lord will provide. No, God wants our hearts to be aligned to him, to fully believe in him. Faith means forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, F-A-I-T-H. Oh, my dear, maybe you are going through tough times in your lives right now. Some difficult situations, decision-making situations, uncertainties in your life. God is able. God is able. God is able. Remember that. Be strengthened by those who pass through those situations in their lives. The greatest test of faith we can read in the life of Abraham, who